And now a word from Salacious Crumb. And what he said was, you're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Hello, you beautiful humans, and welcome to the Nerdcast from Project Nerd, episode 166. We are here. We are ready to roll. I'm Tyler. Iggy is here. Bob is here. Adam is sadly not here, which is sad, but how are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. I think Bob has put it out to Adam that we're probably all doing better than he is, considering
that did not go well last night for them. Oh. I'm actually upset because I'm going to a Florida State game later this year, and I was hoping they would, you know, be like
better.
Florida State undefeated versus Notre Dame undefeated. College game day would have been
it would have been nuts.
It would have been quite the spectacle.
Yeah, so, it would have been crazy.
So if you would have gone, what would your sign be?
Oh, I'm still going, but I'm not gonna.
Are you gonna hold up a big old sign that something cool, like maybe Project Nerd glasses, something like that?
Something about Thanos. I don't know.
Dude, showing up for, as someone who showed up to a couple college game days when I was still in college and could do that, that requires a lot of being up in the morning and working and not being drunk. So if you're going to make it all the way through the day, because like usually the college game day game isn't until the evening, but college game day happens at like 9 a.m., 10 a.m. And it's like, I only got time for that. I'm old. When I was 19, 21, that was cool. Now I'm just having enough energy to tailgate and watch a game is sometimes more than I could muster.
So as excited we are, except for Adam, about football, which I'm sure we all are. Anyways, it is the Nerdcast, as Tyler pointed out. We're at episode 166. We're back home, most of us, from Colorado Springs Comic Con, which I think I'm still exhausted. I have not recovered yet. I don't know about you, Bob, but I'm on the sleepy end still.
Definitely. That was a long weekend, but that was a fun weekend. And yeah, I am pretty much exhausted still.
It was a blast, and we have tons of audio and video coming out. We just this week dropped the Brian O'Halloran audio interview. We had, I believe, the Walking Dead video interview on Wednesday, and then the Mark Dodson, a.k.a. Salacious Crumb, and some of the Gremlins on Thursday. Of course, over the next couple weeks, you can see some of our panel videos and a bunch of other coverage from the event, and you'll see a lot more of that from conventions to come down the road, too. So exciting stuff out of Colorado Springs Comic Con. Bob and I were discussing it earlier. I still don't know exact numbers on it, but it was a packed house. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. I think Saturday people were in line till 4 o'clock. It was crazy. So
did you even get upstairs into the vendors floor?
Oh yeah. The girls were up there, and Jason Mintz and Stephen Pulwala were up there too. So swing up and see some of our friends. Actually, if you watch any of the videos from our booth, you'll see artwork from Jason and Steven sitting on our table during those interviews. So pretty cool. But that was last time. Next time, we're already getting ready for the next one, which is, I think, one of our favorites, Tallgrass Film Festival in October. Bob, they dropped the news while we were in Colorado Springs, actually, for the big Thursday night gala.
At the Waffle House.
Well, the gala is not at the Waffle House. We were at the Waffle House.
Yep.
Yeah, I was a little confused there for a second.
Yes.
Big gala event at the Waffle House in Wichita coming up for Tallgrass Film Festival. No, but seriously, Bob, not the Waffle House, but I'll let you go since you're super excited for her.
Oh, yeah. I had a chance to meet her back at Kansas City Comic Con, and she's coming to Wichita. Pam Grier. Jackie Brown will be honored at the Thursday night gala.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I love how Tallgrass usually does like kind of a bigger one like that towards the open. They have some cool, fun ones during the weekend. And then usually the Sunday one is the big award, the one that's predetermined by their judges. Right. And of course, throughout the weekend, anybody that sees the movie gets to pick I don't remember what the exact award is, but it's the fan favorite for both the feature film, short film, and documentary that they have. So a lot of cool stuff that happens there. We enjoy it. It's been a couple of years since we've been there, but we hang out in the VIP lounge, interview as many of the people we can, review some movies. You see all kinds of content come out after that too. So just one of the many things still to come from Project Nerd's events this year. So pretty exciting there. Before we head in the box office, since we're kind of talking about conventions and stuff, I know we're a little bit of a week out, but again, last week's episode was recorded at the convention, so we didn't really get to talk about it. But if you didn't see the ruling for between Salt Lake Comic-Con versus San Diego Comic-Con, the judge of the court ruled in favor of San Diego Comic-Con. And as of now, it is officially Comic-Con is a trademark term for Comic-Con International, San Diego Comic-Con. That's crazy, guys. Like, I mean, that affects yes. how many events we go to a year.
Every one of them, basically.
Most of them. I don't know. Planet Comic-Con might be safe because they do it. They do it differently.
The like spelling, yeah, word. They do comic on.
Yeah, like as one word. There are C2, a number.
C2E2 won't have to worry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those ones. You've got a bunch of the fan expos or Amazing Con or Indie Pop Con, you know, things like that we've been to. But yeah, you're talking obviously Salt Lake's impacted, but Denver Comic Con, Colorado Springs Comic Con that we're just at, O Comic Con, all of them. We'll see how San Diego handles this. I really, in my mind, I'm like, part of me wants to believe that they're not going to be, I mean, bluntly said, jerks about it. But at the same time, I don't like, we just had a court battle regarding, and I get Salt Lake, part of that court battle was some other things. Salt Lake actually used the San Diego logo and yeah. used some of their branding in the advertising to potentially or accidentally mislead people. And so that was the bigger issue that San Diego got into the bout with them at. Obviously, the majority of the cons, especially Denver Comic Con, who's a huge one here in Denver, was standing behind Salt Lake. The ruling didn't go in that favor. So, yeah, 2019 will be interesting to see how some of these conventions get impacted and see what kind of changes happen. I know a few shows, I think Salt Lake, even before the lawsuit was over, just already went and said, you know, we have a fan expo. We'll just call both of them fan expos or whatever. And had kind of changed their name. So we'll see if a bunch of other shows do that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of agree. I honestly have a feeling. Yeah. San Diego is going to be kind of a jerk about it.
I mean, there's something to be said for like trademark and copyright laws are pretty outdated and bad, but there is a certain amount of like, you have to defend it to keep it kind of thing, which I get to some extent. And Salt Lake was doing a little bit more than just calling their con Comic-Con. But I would be curious to see. I'm curious to see whether or not other cons that have been around for a while continue to try and use the names they've used and just see what happens, or if everyone will just blink and say, screw it, we'll call it something else.
Yeah,
or just go back to calling them comic conventions. Like they can't trademark that. But
I thought they can't even use comic convention.
No, because the comic convention is convention's the event, and it's yeah. what it, the event is for is comic. So when the abbreviation became Comic-Con, San Diego was saying, we filed a trademark for this a while back. We were the first to use that abbreviation. It was no longer just an abbreviation. It became associated completely yeah. with our brand is kind of what the argument was. And as Tyler and I kind of both said, obviously we're not trying to badmouth San Diego here because the actual lawsuit that's happened was much bigger than that. There was those other yeah. things at play. So we have no knowing for sure if San Diego's, like we said, is just going to open an assault on other cons or they're going to let it be. But very good point from Tyler there. Like Denver Comic-Con can keep saying Denver Comic-Con until San Diego asks them to stop, basically.
A cease and desist.
There's not yeah. going to be like a fan's going to be like, oh, these guys, you guys are still using it. And they're going to be like, oh, yeah, don't point that out to other people. And then they stop. But like I said, I think some shows, probably shows that are already financially worried a little bit, will probably just go ahead and take care of it. Other yeah. big shows that have tons of money in the bank, although they say they use it for charity and things like that, such as Denver Comic-Con stuff, they may just hold on to that name at least for a little bit. And I'm sure it'll take a couple of years for it all to completely start playing out and for us to truly see what the impact will be. But
yeah, I think the one that I would be curious about, so like obviously part of the reason this came up is because Salt Lake was doing a few more things other than just calling it Comic-Con, and it grew really quickly, really fast, which we've seen a lot of cons do recently. Like they went from not existing. I mean, when was the first year that Salt Lake City Comic-Con?
I believe, though, the very first year they went north of like 45 to 50. And then yeah. the second year they introduced the Fan Expo, which did another 35 to 40 is somewhere in there.
So, yeah,
the first year was like 60 plus, if I remember correctly.
So, yeah, the first one was in 2014. And by 2015, attendance was 127,000.
Oh, yeah, I was way off then. It was much bigger then.
Maybe. So like 2000, let's see here, 2000, I mean, they've, because they do multiple ones each year, obviously. They do more than just like, they were kind of weird in the sense that they do like a April one and then they do a September one and then they've done January. They've done a lot of different ones.
I don't think Tyler's hearing anything I'm saying. I said they have the Fan Expo and well, then the Comic Con. But they call the other one the Fan Expo. Or what? Or is it Fan? They call it something like Fan. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Fan Experience.
Yeah, Experience, excuse me.
It's not like Comic Con, Fan Experience, whatever. So like, yeah, so the original Comic Con was 2013. I'm sorry, the original Comic Con of theirs. But yeah, so first Comic-Con, September 2013, 70,000 to 80,000. By 2016, they were over 120,000 and haven't given numbers for like the last couple. So
that's crazy.
And relatively, I mean, you think about it, I know Salt Lake's not a walk to San Diego, but when you look at the whole United States, it's closer geographically, and both start with S, both using the Comic-Con, and then once again, mistakenly is what they've said, and not doubting it, they used some of the Comic-Con branding in early advertisements, which is really what triggered everything.
And I've seen a lot of smaller ones that like we're aware of. Some smaller ones have gone in and changed, have already changed their branding. So like, for instance, like Smallville Comic-Con is one that we've gone to a couple different times in Hutchinson, Kansas. Their website is still smallvillecomiccon.com, but if you go there, they have changed their logo to Smallville Con. They don't, comic has been completely removed from it. I'm more curious about like, what are the really big established ones? One specifically, what does New York Comic Con do?
Yeah, that's one, what I was thinking.
Like
about.
I would be interesting to see if San Diego is willing to go after like New York Comic Con.
Well, actually, you know, I'm actually looking online. Salt Lake, they've already changed it to Salt Lake Comic Con.
We're losing you, but we're repeating, like we're seriously repeating stuff that's already been said. Like we've said all these things about the big cons and Salt Lake already changing their name and stuff like that. But Bob is, oh no, you're unfrozen now.
Yeah.
But as I said, we're just repeating ourselves now. So anyways, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Obviously, if you have feedback on it, let us know. But yeah, crazy. I'm shocked by the ruling in my opinion, but I wasn't expecting it to go in their favor, but it did. And things like that happen. So we'll see. But anyways, let's move along. Bob, why don't you give us a rundown of what happened in the box office last weekend?
Well, you know, we weren't here to do last week's box office. Well, it didn't matter because the top two movies were the same. This week, Crazy Rich Asians still stays at the top for the third week in a row. And I think there's only three other movies this year that's been number one 3 weeks in a row at the box office. Did about 22 million. So it's hitting about 110 million right now. In second place is The Meg, did 10 million, and that's doing about 120 million, which is really surprising. I was really surprised that it's actually doing that well. In third place, moving up from fourth, is Mission Impossible Fallout, which just crossed 200 million. And it actually opened in China over the weekend, and I think it did about 77 million in China. So it's doing extremely well. In fourth place is Searching, that John Cho thriller where he's looking for his daughter on a computer, which looks really good. And then in fifth place, Operation Finale with Ben Kingsley and Oscar Isaac. Looks like a really good, intense thriller there. Worst, biggest bomb of the week is Kin, just opened in 2,100 theaters, and it only did like $3 million.
Yeah. Tyler, have you seen The Meg yet? I know, Bob, you saw it pretty early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
No, I don't know. Why is it still number two? Who is seeing this movie?
Nothing else has come out. What else is there?
Still, I'll go see Mission Impossible four times over again before I go see The Meg.
You know, Meg, it's a fun movie. It's dare I say, it's a popcorn film. But it was just a fun movie.
I was just shaking my head. No.
Yeah.
I'm out. I'll see you guys next week.
But I'm ready. I mean, we got The Nun starting this weekend, which looks pretty freaky. And then have you guys seen the new trailer for The Predator?
No, but when we were at Colorado Springs Comic Con last weekend, I think it was Tom and Stacy were talking about it. Mm-hmm. It almost seems like the new trailer is really focusing on the comedy aspect.
Yeah, but the new trailer, the new Red Band trailer.
Oh, that's right. They did a Red Band trailer.
Yeah, really focusing on the violence of the film, and it is pretty violent. So I'm excited.
I mean, it looks fun. You've got a lot of good act. I mean, a lot of cool people in it. I want to see Keegan-Michael Keel up against a Predator. I want to see Thomas Jane.
Predator.
And if you put Olivia Munn and Yvonne Stravinsky in the same movie, I'm going to go see it. So,
I mean, it's a Predator series. It's going to, you know, it's going to have its moments for sure and be interesting, but I agree. The cast looks impressive.
It's got Predator dogs.
Predator dogs.
And Predator dogs.
And the Punisher / the vegan police officer, Thomas Jane. I mean,
yes.
What more could you ask for? So that's what's due up this month. And we're actually getting closer and closer to some of our big fall releases, because we do still have some big titles coming out this year.
Mm-hmm. We definitely do. Like I said, Christmas, that week of Christmas is just going to be crazy. There's like five major films opening up in that one weekend before Christmas. You're going to have Christopher Robbins. You're going to have Aquaman. You're going to have Bumblebee. And there's like a couple other films, all huge, that are going to be opening that weekend.
Too crowded.
Yeah.
We don't need that Bumblebee movie. Just get rid of it. But
I mean, October still has Venom.
Ben.
What else?
Star is Born.
I want to see Bad Times at the El Royale. I definitely
It
looks,
the trailer looks fun. The cast alone.
Is good, yeah.
First Man comes out in October.
And that they just showed that at the Venice Film Festival, and people just went crazy.
Yeah.
That is so good.
We obviously get the new Halloween in October. There's something else in October that's, maybe I'm missing something. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in October. And then, I don't know, is there anything, are there any big Thanksgiving movies this year?
Wreck-It Ralph.
Is that a Thanksgiving movie? I guess Fantastic Beasts comes out the week before Thanksgiving. And then the week of Thanksgiving you get Creed 2. I almost forgot about Creed 2. Yeah. I don't feel like they've been marketing that a ton since the first trailer came out. Creed 2 and Ralph Breaks the Internet and that weird looking Robin Hood with Jamie Foxx in it comes out Thanksgiving too.
I don't know about that one.
I like Taron Egerton a lot, so I mean, I'll see it just to see what he does. But
yeah,
and Ben Mendelsohn is always fun. So Jamie Foxx, you know, does fun stuff, I guess.
Oh, like I said, we still got a lot going on at the box office though. Right now, with it being slower though, tons happening on streaming services. We did get on Netflix the Netflix original Ozark season 2. And that dropped, as well as not original, but The Good Place, which was one of the surprise hits of last TV season, or two TV seasons, I guess, ago. Season 2 just dropped to Netflix as well. The new Jack Ryan series hit Amazon, which is getting a lot of play. And then, of course, the big movie to hit Netflix is Black Panther, finally is on there. So a lot, plenty to watch right now on your streaming services.
You say finally, it just came out like 6 months ago.
I'm pretty sure just a few weeks ago it was still in theater, like setting marks, but
yeah, it just hits.
And it is the penultimate Marvel movie to make it to Netflix. We'll get Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then never again will there be a Marvel movie on Netflix.
Yeah, but I for me, like I've been able to see all the other ones again. I haven't seen Black Panther since February, so for me, I'm excited to watch it again with it being on Netflix.
And Iron Fist is in a week? We get Iron Fist season 2?
I'm not paying close enough attention.
The trailers for it have looked real good. They look like they actually spent some time in production. They taught the guy how to fight a little bit, so. Which I don't put on him. Like, it was, the production was very condensed in the first season, but the trailers have looked interesting. You get to see him in the yellow mask a couple times in the trailer, so.
Yeah, I'm not a Finn Jones hater. Like, I mean, he did fine in Game of Thrones and stuff, so I don't know. We'll see. Iron Fist is a good character. I think definitely one I'd be interested to see more of if it is better. I still got to finish Luke Cage season 2, but
you also get to see Misty Knight do badass shit with her big cybernetic arm, which is
all right. So, I mean, plenty to do there too. And another one I'm excited about, or may end up crying about, because you never know what's going to give you, but BoJack Horseman's just around the corner as well.
God, I can't handle that right now.
Anyways, that's what's streaming. If we keep talking about movies though, two big things involving comic book stars, I guess would be a way to put it. Back when the James Gunn stuff happened with Disney originally, Dave Bautista said, if Gunn's not back for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, I'm not back. More obviously came out about Gunn. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. We're doing some of the photos that snuck out and everything like that. Bautista never retracted his remarks. He never further backed up Gunn on it, but now he is saying in general, and not even necessarily relating it all to Gunn, but yeah, if it happens, if the third one happens, he's still not sure he's going to do it. Do we replace Drax or is he gone? What do we do there?
I mean, that would be tough because of how popular that character is and how much he's done it, but Marvel's, I mean, obviously it was way earlier in the machine that is now the MCU, but they have replaced characters before. They will do it again, so.
I mean, technically, spoiler alert, I mean, he is gone right now, so will he come back in Avengers 4? You know, that's the thing, you know. Who is going to come back? I mean, I know he's probably the – I mean, yes, they all signed that little thing that says that we all support James Gunn, but his is probably – like I said, he's the more vocal of the group. So yeah, he may not.
But Avengers 4 is already shot. I feel like it would be impossible to completely remove him from it unless they're going to go back and do it's weeks of reshoots.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's, and he has said that he's done all his. He does have like 2 weeks of reshoots, but otherwise he's done with Avengers 4. And he says, yeah, he's very happy with how it is right now, but how it's going to play into it, I don't know. It'll be interesting. Wait and see until next May.
I think we were all on the same page, though, kind of, at least relatively the same page, when it's like, I mean, Disney, you're getting into bed with a B-horror movie director that's like made his name on cult-type movies following dark-type comedy, not advocating or speaking against him one way or the other. I'm just saying, as Disney chose, which they made the right decision, because I think Marvel started to get stale there for a little bit, and then they chose to just go out and get those directors you wouldn't necessarily first think of for these types of movies, and it paid off dividends. I mean, talking about Thor, talking about this. I mean, even if you go down to the Russo brothers, like what made you think they were going to handle this type of Avengers like story, you know? So they chose to work with James Gunn in the first place, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, money, another good director, Bautista just enjoying being Drax. Any of that could, you know, play factors here. So it could definitely change it. The other superhero actor I was referencing was Henry Cavill. And, he was just Tuesday this week. Internet went crazy about it. He will be Geralt of Rivia for The Witcher on Netflix. I didn't realize it's going to be a Netflix series, but it is apparently a Netflix. I don't know if it's a full-blown series or a mini-series. Do you guys know?
So it's going to be full-blown show. It's they've confirmed 8 episodes for the first season. It will. They haven't been super clear on which parts of it, but it'll definitely not be the game Geralt. It'll be the book and short story Geralt. So I don't know if they'll start with like the earlier short stories or the novels that came after them. They're by a Polish author. Obviously they're very popular, and they've since become more popular in the English speaking world because of the popularity of the games. But obviously the games are based on a series of short stories that were then a series of novels about The Witcher. But they've made it very clear that that is their source material that they're working with. What books or what short stories they'll use, no one really knows. And it'll be tough to tell until they announce some more. You know, if they cast a Yennefer, if they cast a Triss, if they cast a Dandelion or different characters, it'll have a better idea of kind of like where they are in the storyline. But I mean, I love the books. I love the games. I like Henry Cavill. I mean, I'm on board with this 100%. And I'm also proud of Netflix for, you know, shrinking a series order for a show. Like, so many of their shows have been burdened by the fact that maybe you didn't need 13 episodes to do that. Maybe you could have done it in like 6 or 7 or 8.
I think, Cavill, I mean, he's kind of, some people seem to be on the fence with him only though because of his Superman role. I feel like everything else he's done has been great. He was fantastic in the recent Mission Impossible. I really liked him in Man from U.N.C.L.E. He was great there. So I'm interested to see what he can do here.
Yeah. I'm on the fence with him. I mean, he just comes off as being stiff at times and, you know, just kind of milk toast.
But I mean, outside of Superman, he's supposed to be a little bit like that in Mission Impossible. Maybe that's why it works. I don't know. Yeah. But outside of Superman, where is he really? Because like Man from U.N.C.L.E., he's really fun. Like it's really fun. Both of him and Armie Hammer.
Armie Hammer were great.
Yeah, are great in that. And they're both, have we seen them in roles where they can both seem stiff in that type of character.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've seen him flex it a little bit. Maybe he just needs some really strong directing. You know, some actors just need that.
Really, you know? Strong directing. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens here.
We could have gotten, what's his face? Stefan Kapicik or whatever his name was from Colossus from Deadpool.
He's a fun guy.
He would have been great.
I feel like that came up in his panel, that question.
I think it did, actually. No, they
wanted him to play a Viking, and he said that there's an – oh, actually, now he said they're about to announce the new some of the casting for a new Netflix series.
Ooh.
That seems kind of Game of Thrones-like, so maybe he was hinting at The Witcher. Maybe we'll find him somewhere in this.
It'd be interesting. There's a lot of really good characters in that world to play, like big main characters outside of Geralt. I mean, honestly, in the books, Geralt's almost a side character to – all the other crazy characters out there. I mean, he's not as much of like, I mean, obviously you play him in the game, so he's the protagonist, but in the books, like, he's just one of a big old cast of characters. So I'm curious to see what they go with it. I'm excited. I mean, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
For sure. And series like this, I think, like Tyler's point out, The Witcher's got great material, but it's also got that kind of feel to it that's popular right now, that Game of Thrones, that Vikings, that kind of throwback feel.
Fantasy's big again.
Fantasy, there you go. Yeah.
Fantasy's big again. Cavill's a big fan of the games and the books and all games. I mean, he's famously the one who, when asked, he missed the first call to tell him he had become Superman because he was in the middle of a dungeon in World of Warcraft and missed the call from Zack Snyder. He's always been very open about his nerd cred. And I remember, like, even way before he got cast in this, he had gone online and was talking on like Instagram or something about how much he loved the Witcher series. And someone had made like a poster or made it an image of him as Geralt at one point and posted it. And it's been reposted a ton recently since he got announced as Geralt, but I'm excited. Well, I think it'll be fun. I mean, I think a lot of people who aren't familiar with Henry Cavill give him a bad rap because of the Superman movies, but if you go back and see him in like The Tudors or even like Man from U.N.C.L.E. and stuff, the guy's got chops and he's a charismatic, cool, fun dude.
Yeah, I forgot about Tudors. Yeah, he's pretty solid in there as well. But like I said, I like him. And I do, not just him, it feels like a lot more people, and maybe it's because we're seeing a lot more studios put people in charge or had connections with the original material in some kind of responsible role for the adaptation. Maybe that's why we're seeing more people that are acting in these as fans. However, on the complete flip side of the coin, a really funny story this week was Idris Elba was being interviewed during a movie premiere, and they asked him about if he was no longer part of the MCU, and he goes, "What's the MCU?" And they're like, "The Marvel Cinematic Universe." He goes, "Oh, I've never heard of that before." It's like, dude, you're in like a bunch of the movies for it. So apparently, he's not a huge fan of that, but I don't know. He still was perfect for that role, and I hope he's not really dead. But he probably.
I 100% believe that is him trolling people. Like
that's very possible.
He seems like the kind of person to be like, "MCU, what is that? I don't know." He 100% knows what he's been to Comic-Con. He knows what the MCU is.
That's very true, and he is. I mean, this is the same guy who sang lines for a Macklemore song in like a very off the wall video. I like, it's not like this guy's a very stale, unfun person.
If you want to know how funny Idris Elba is and you don't watch anything else or don't know anything else about him, go on YouTube and look up of him there's this, used to be this old YouTube series called Best Story Ever. And there is a YouTube video of him telling the story about how he named his own production company. And that'll tell you everything you need to know about Idris Elba and his sense of humor. I'm not going to spoil it, nor is it something it's appropriate to talk about on our podcast, but you need to watch the video.
He's fantastic. And actually, I did recently watch, it came back to HBO like in the past month or so, the Mountain Between Us, is that what it's called, right? With him and Kate Winslet. And I was actually shocked. It was pretty good. I mean,
I thought you were about to say that you just got around finally to watching Green Door, and I was going to be like, okay.
No, I didn't see this one in theaters, and it hit HBO. I watched it, and it was one of those ones that I put on like in the background while I was going to work, and then couldn't take care of my work because the movie ended up being much more, like, grabbed my attention much more than I thought it would. It's one of those ones when it finishes, it's like, why didn't I expect it to be this good? It's pretty much 100% screen, almost 100% screen time committed to two really, really good actors. Like, him and Kate Winslet are fantastic. So obviously they did a great job. Anyways, yeah. So Cavill in The Witcher, let us know what you think. Bautista, no Guardians of the Galaxy, let us know what you think. And last, Elba, was he trolling with MCU? And obviously check out some of his stuff online if you want to learn more about him. Other big names, somebody who disappeared for a while, recently did the documentary. They recently released the footage. Most of it was filmed a long time ago. Jim Carrey, kind of been back a little bit in the spotlight lately. And now he has dropped, he was doing his new series called Kidding. And the first episode is free online. You just Google Kidding and you can find it. Have you guys had the chance to check it out yet?
Not yet, no.
I have not either. So we'll bring it up, but we probably won't dive too deep into it since none of us have seen it. But interesting nonetheless. I'm really curious to see. Jim Carrey's one of those guys that's like, he seems at times like he might have gone off the deep end. Mm-hmm. And then other times he says something that's like, no, he's not off the deep end. He's just figured all this shit out. Like, he's really, like, he's just like, screw everybody else, screw Hollywood, I want to do what I want to do, figured it out. And then other times he just seems like, yeah, I've still got it together, and I've just been, as was brought up earlier, trolling. Just, yeah, messing
he's
with
gone,
him.
He's gone through a lot. Like I said, lately he's gone through a lot of shit with his girlfriend dying, and then her brother suing him for being responsible for the death. And, you know, anytime you see Jim Carrey on the screen, it's always a good thing. You know, I'm still waiting for my Ace Ventura sequel.
I don't know if we need any more of that, but I agree. He started very great in Living Color, was always fun. Then we got to him, through some of that slapstick 90s stuff that was popular at the time. But yeah, then he turned the corner with, like, I mean, all you have to really say is Eternal Sunshine and the Spotless Mind was just phenomenal. And I always go back to that one where he has to be basically himself in two different versions of himself in that one scene. And they were going to film it separately. And he told the director, no, I want to do it. So he would, and one side have the beanie on, then run behind the camera and take it off, then run behind the camera, put it on, and did it all in one take. And I mean, that was just pure, like, if you want to know how Jim Carrey does stuff, there it is right there as the prime example. But yeah, he's an interesting guy for sure. And his recent documentary about Man on the Moon, the Andy Kaufman story that he did, obviously he did a great job in that movie too, but he was something else behind the scenes in that film for sure.
Yeah, I think he's a super talented guy, but that documentary coupled with some other stuff, you know, that true or not that's come out in the media, like, he definitely seems to someone who has the ability to be a difficult person to get along with or be around sometimes. So I don't know. I mean, I've always had a soft spot for him in a lot of his movies and a lot of his early work, his stand-up and stuff, but he is definitely a character to the nth degree.
Best way to explain him, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want to check it out, I think I'm going to check it out this week. He obviously, like I said, he wants to make it a series. I think Kidding, the first episode out there. If you had a chance to check it out, let us know what you think. But let's dive. We've talked movies. We've talked, really focused mainly on obviously what you can watch in terms of entertainment, but let's talk a little bit about what you can play. And some big video game news this week. One of that being that the first raid for the Battle of Azeroth dropped on Tuesday. I believe, Tyler, that is your wheelhouse right there, because, yeah, I haven't played it.
Not to break the veil of disbelief for the 100th time, but we are recording this on Tuesday, so we will be done with this here in the next little bit, and I will be doing the first raid of Battle of Azeroth tonight at midnight. I'm excited. I mean, I've always enjoyed raiding in WoW. It's one of the few things I think that I've always liked. There's parts of WoW that I'm not a big fan of, but I always enjoyed the raids. This will be the first time I've raided in over a year. So, Uldur, it's another Titan thing. We're after some blood god guy. I don't know. I should probably look into some of the strats or some of the story behind it. But I'm excited. It'll be fun. With my the raiding group, the infamous Midnight Hobos. We're pretty laid back. Just raiding from midnight to 3 a.m. One of the reasons I stopped raiding was because the only one that I can like consistently commit to is one that raids it. I've always been bad about, like, I only raid in the middle of the night. So two nights a week, we raid midnight to 3, and we will try it out. Next week, I'll be able to give a full rundown of how it goes. So, I mean, obviously, it's been out now since the patch went in earlier today. So a lot of people have already finished it. A lot of people have already run it. I haven't looked into it a ton, but this is the first big, you know, content drop of the new expansion. Obviously, there'll be many more after this, but the first time the raid drops is usually kind of the big starting point for real of any big expansion. So we'll see if it's any good. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, it's fun.
Well, Blizzard has shared that these numbers even exceeded what they were expecting with this new version. So a lot of people playing again. I went to a friend's house this weekend and they had three computers set up, three different people playing.
There's been a lot of hiccups along the way. There was a lot of things they did in the last expansion, Legion, that kind of changed the way the game was. And in this one, they've tried to like dial some of that back. There's also, they did a big stat squish that people aren't aware of, because power creep, obviously, in an MMO is always a problem. So they've done a lot of things recently that have had unintended consequences in the game. So today, there were a lot of little and big bugs in the new patch that caused any number of outroar from WoW fans. But WoW fans can get really upset about super innocuous things. So just like any gamer, you know, player base, but I've enjoyed it so much. There's a lot of things about it that have bugged me, but not enough to like be actively angry at the game. But we'll see how it goes. Like, it's still early in the expansion, so they have a lot of time to tweak and fix things. But hopefully the raid is fun. Hopefully all the cool purple gears drop. We'll see. Shout out to the Midnight Hobos, though. Go team.
Bob will get in there and raid with you.
No, I'm actually going to wait. I'm going to be picking up my Spider-Man today.
Oh, God, Spider-Man came out too today.
Oh, so, yes. Yeah. So speaking of, that's on our list, the Spider-Man game. Early reviews, like an early kind of gameplay demos, were really positive of it. Mm-hmm. And now that it's dropped, just tons of positive about it, which is huge because, if you're honest, you know, the past few Spider-Man games have not
sucked.
We'll just go bluntly.
Those sucked.
I'm trying to think of the last good Spider-Man game, and I honestly am having trouble. What was the Shattered Dimensions one? Was okay, but most Spider-Man games have always been bad.
I feel like the reason a lot of people thought I'm pretty sure Shattered Dimensions is what it was, because that was the first one that had like the just big open environment, if I remember correctly. So a lot of people were just super excited about that because you could just really just go be Spider-Man wherever you wanted.
Yeah. Well, and that was one of the first ones too that was cool, because it kind of embraced the whole multiple dimensions of the Spider-Verse. So you played as Spider-Man Noir, you played as Spider-Man 2099, you played as Ultimate Spider-Man, you played as normal Spider-Man. That kind of thing was super cool. Black Suit Spider-Man, but there just haven't been, like, last time I remember, like, really playing a lot of a Spider-Man game was, like, Super Nintendo, like, Maximum Carnage, and that was, like, a side-scrolling beat-em-up game, so the 3D, like, open-world model has not been kind to Spider-Man, but this one, Insomniac, has super embraced what I think a lot of people have said since the first Arkham came out. It's like, hey, you did it with Batman, finally. Like, just make a Spider-Man game like Arkham Asylum, but with Spider-Man and web crawling and web swinging, and everyone will be happy. And most of the reviews are like, yeah, this is a lot like the first Arkham Asylum game, only you're Spider-Man. And instead of, you do a lot of moving fast and dodging and swinging from buildings and shooting webs at people. That's all I need. I need to be able to swing from buildings and kick people and shoot webs at people, and I'm happy. And make it feel somewhat fluid. So, but 87 on Metacritic, which is nothing to sneeze at. 87 on a Metacritic for a game is pretty impressive.
Further in video game news, which I was really excited about, my kids got a Nintendo Switch this weekend. Exciting. Especially now, because immediately afterwards, Nintendo drops the news. Hey, they're bringing the port over of the original Mario Brothers. Oh, and by the way, you can play online co-op with a friend as Mario and Luigi. Yes, please. I know, Tyler, as I was saying earlier, you've got the Switch. You better be ready for some of that
co-op. I'll have to get it up. Now, be clear, because I haven't seen this and I haven't looked it up. Is this co-op Mario Brothers or is this co-op Super Mario Brothers? Like, this is original Mario Brothers where it's just like side-scrolling single screen with the tubes on the sides where you're hitting the PAL button and doing that? Or is it like Super Mario Brothers, like the actual game?
I believe it is. That's a great one. It is. Let's find out here. Finally launched their Nintendo Switch Online. It's the original Mario Brothers is one of 20 games.
Okay, so it's the
have access to.
So it's the actual Mario Brothers. So it's like the single screen.
The classic 1983 arcade game will include online co-op. So yes, it's the original one.
Because they would have had to completely redo original Mario Brothers to make it co-op, other than unless you're doing player one, player two. Like, but the original arcade Mario Brothers before Super Mario Brothers was co-op.
Yes,
because you could kick each other and take coins from each other and
yep,
hit the PAL button and stuff. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be super exciting for sure. It'll be interesting to see. I know Nintendo Switch Online has been marketed for a while, really since the launch of the system. They've talked about it being a thing. But Nintendo, as they've done in the past few systems that have just sold like crazy, they do a really good job of saying, we're going to give you this. Oh, you guys are digging that, going to play with it a while. We'll wait a little bit before we do this next thing that we've talked about already, and getting the most they can of each thing. And I know at the beginning of the year, it was that whatever that building cardboard thing is that they had. But this is, it'll be interesting and hopefully leads to a lot of other co-op games, not only old ports and original releases, but maybe some of the newer games too. So, but my kids with the system, they got Mario Kart, obviously, which I think everybody who owns any kind of Nintendo system should have Mario Kart. They got Super Mario Odyssey, which seemed fun. And then Sonic, which I didn't see. My son seemed to be enjoying it pretty good, but the new Sonic game is pretty cool because it supposedly has a bunch of the original stuff where you can play like old school, like you said, 2D scroller style, or you can play the new Sonic. So I'll have to check that out myself as well. But I don't know.
I haven't bought a lot of the really popular games, but outside of like Legend of Zelda and Mario Odyssey, some of the most fun I've had with my Switch, partially just because it's portable, is a lot of like the indie games that were typically like PC based or like mobile based. So like Celeste and Dorada and some of those games have been like super fun. I also know a lot of people who their Switch exists for one reason and one reason only, and that is to play Stardew Valley all the time, which was also a PC first, but is super popular on Switch.
Yes. So a lot of good stuff out for this one, more so than we've seen from the previous Nintendo systems, which is always interesting. They keep growing it. One that caught my attention, I haven't checked it out, I want to look more into it, but they even have like a Portal game, which was a mobile game that Portal released, to where you like build portals for, not for like in the classic system game, but more so to like try to get vehicles through. I don't know what I'm mumbling now, but anyways, yeah, some interesting things there for sure. But I think we've covered everything we were looking to cover, so that's great and worked out perfectly, and we're getting close to the end of time, so perfect time to just jump us into final thoughts. I know, Tyler, you just went on about World of Warcraft, but what else you got going on?
A couple things. I think the biggest thing today for me that I also have to find time to do is the newest, the newest Shannon Maguire October Day book came out today. There have been, how many of those are there now? Night in Silence is the name of it. It is number 12 in the series. A friend of mine got me into them a while back around the time the 11th one came out, and I read the first 11 of them in about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. I got real obsessed with them. The last one ended on a bit of a bit of a rough spot. Like, it was a pretty rough story for poor Toby, who's the main character. So the new one, apparently, just from the synopsis, sounds rough. And Shannon Maguire is a master of gut punches in her books, as well as big reveals that just will blow your mind. So I'm excited to pick that up.
What's that called again?
The series is the October Day series by Shannon Maguire. The newest book is called Night in Silence.
Oh, okay.
There are 12 of them. The first book, if you want to pick them up, the first one is called Rosemary and Rue by Shannon Maguire. It's $1.99 on Amazon right now. So
hold on. Bob, why were you asking Tyler for specifics on a book? I'm confused right now.
Oh, that's right. I don't read.
Okay. I was just asking. I don't know. Maybe you read and just never told us, and it's like you're from Colorado Springs and we never knew. I don't know what's going on. But all right, as Tyler always tells you in his final thoughts, get a book and read.
You should be reading.
Bob, what you got for us?
You know, a couple of months ago, I told you about a movie that I saw that I really liked. It just came out on home video. It's Upgrade. It's director Lee Wamhol's futuristic take on kind of a mixture of sci-fi, horror, and comedy. It is one of my favorite movies of the year. It just came out on Blu-ray. It would have been great if it was on 4K, because just the imagery and the camera work was pretty cool. It is pretty gruesome and violent, but it is one of those movies I think is going to be kind of a cult classic down the line. I really do. It's a good movie. I recommend it highly.
You got it on audio. Bob's calling it now, 2018. Yeah. So in 5 years from now, when Upgrade's a cult classic, Bob can be like, I told you so.
Yep.
Go to the internets and find where I told you. Back on Nerdcast 166. For me, I'm going to be spending the weekend in a studio, a long weekend in a studio. We will be recording our first episodes of our brand new Project Nerd podcast and video cast, I'm Not Famous. Of course, I'm your host, who's not famous, so that's why it's I'm Not Famous. But I'll be hosting a variety of different people episode to episode. Not really interviews. We're not doing it interview style. I just want to get a new person and kind of talk and just talk about stuff and whatever. And obviously there'll be some those typical interview type questions, and we'll talk a little bit about what they're focused on, including this, you know, in the coming months we'll have cosplayers, you know, firebenders, we've got somebody who restores a car who's a big part of Project Nerd, Colorado Batmobile, and of course comic creators and convention runners and celebrities and music makers and a documentary maker, all the fun stuff. Just talking, shooting the shit, and having a good time. Again, it'll be a weekly series from Project Nerd. It'll be both available on our podcast network, which are new starting in October. We'll have a brand new RSS feed. So if you are checking this out on iTunes, Stitcher, or the Google Marketplace, make sure you search again for Project Nerd Productions here in the coming weeks, as we'll have a brand new RSS feed featuring all of our awesome podcasts as we're rolling out a bunch of new content. And again, I'm Not Famous will be joining the lines of the Nerdcast, Sexy Nerd Science, and The Return of Modern Sex, just to name a few, as we have two or three other podcasts that we're eager to announce and some fun video stuff that's coming around the corner too. With that, I'll just kind of bring it back to you. If you're listening to us, head over to Project Nerd. Check out all the fun Colorado Springs Comic-Con content we got. If you like the panels, if you like the interviews, if you like the live streaming we even did back at the convention, let us know. Let the event around you know, because we can come out and do it at your event too. And we're happy to. We want to go to all these. We love going to conventions, so why not? So with that, well, gentlemen, I believe we've wrapped up episode 166.
Well done, team.
Well done. So excitingness here. But Bob, Tyler, myself, I think we'll head out. Tyler's got some games to play. Bob's
oh, my God.
I've got some movies to watch, and I have some naps to catch up on. So with that, until next week, same nerd time, same nerd channel. See you for episode 167.